All right, well, did you find your place there in Matthew chapter 22? I'm going to read a verse, and we're going to dive in here for the next 10, 15 minutes. Notice verse 36, context, a lawyer, a Pharisee, has come and to question the Lord Jesus. And many times their motivation is to try to stump our Lord, try to get him to mess up in his responses. But he said this in verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now let's pray together. Lord, I do thank you for letting us be together tonight. And we commit our minds to you. And our hearts, we just pray you'd speak to us. Help us to be real. Just help us to be open. Help us just to be willing and teachable, moldable, and just ready to grow as disciples of Christ. That's our lifelong goal every day, Lord, to grow, to be a more faithful disciple, and to make disciples. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, tonight continue in our study of emotionally healthy discipleship. You'll have an outline here. If you need an outline, just please raise your hand. It should be say lesson number two. If you don't have one, you can get one. We have ushers that can hand those out to you. We move in. Last week we gave an intro of just the importance of being real and authentic with our faith. We don't want it just to be. We just don't want it to be surface Christianity. We want it to be genuine. We want it to be real. We want it to be something that is going to be impactful and effective to those around us. And so one of the things we talked about how is we have truly gotten away from New Testament Christianity. And sadly, and it just doesn't happen in America, so I'm not trying to be hard on America, okay? It can happen in any country, and it has happened in other countries. But a lot of times, what I would call is we Americanize Christianity. And that's not what God wants us to do. And what is all does that mean? Well, sometimes we commercialize it. Sometimes we treat it almost like a business, a company. As they would run things, and we do it for to just all about the consumer instead of it being about the Christ. Churches, local church, New Testament Christianity is all about Him. He must increase, and I must decrease. And we want to always be reminded of that, encouraged in that. And Lord knows we all need to grow in that. I know I do. And we want to go beneath the surface. I gave the illustration about how we used to paint the ship when the admiral came in just to cover up the rust. And of course, that was a quick fix. And we called it the admiral coat. And it never ended well because rust would build up underneath that paint and would deteriorate the strong metal that it is. And so we understand that we don't want that to be our Christian life, that we're just constantly trying to put paint on the rust of our Christianity. No, we need some sanding that goes on and some prepping, some primer and paint. We do it right. Just let the Holy Spirit do a work in us. And I'm glad that you're here tonight and you're here. I'm glad you're here in any service you're in because it's a time for us just to let the Lord speak to us, but it's just not here. If you come every service, we're only here 4 hours a week together. A lot of our discipleship is, and I just would say this, most of our discipleship should be taking place outside of this building. You know, that's the reality of it because we live as a disciple everywhere we go. And so, again, we want to dive in. And this book is a tool. There's some things that I would not endorse of his teachings, but I think this brother is a saved, born-again brother that loves the Lord and gives some great tools and thoughts along how to truly be a disciple and grow in true discipleship in our walk with the Lord. So tonight, we look at this idea. We're going to look at some areas where we see our failures and becoming spiritually and emotionally mature disciples. And he gives four ones that he addresses that seem to be very prominent in our churches and our Christians and in our Christian life. And I agree. The one is that we tolerate emotional immaturity. And so what is it that's beneath the surface failures that undermine the discipleship that God wants us to have and to keep us from maturing spiritually? And I think what he's going at, and we're going to talk about these first four, is that we got to get in our understanding our minds. We cannot separate spiritual and emotional maturity. And they go hand in hand. They're connected, and we're going to see that from Scripture. But we tolerate it. We almost cover it up with maybe just coming to church. That's why I, as a preacher, can come and preach to you about being loving and kind to each other and go home and be a jerk to my wife and children. You say, that's ever happened to you, Pastor? Mm-hmm. Sure has. It's something that we have to be on guard against, because if that's happening, that should be red flags up in our life that there is some serious, serious emotional and spiritual immaturity in our lives. And it's okay. Let's be vulnerable. Let's be real. We understand being a real disciple, it's raw. It gets weighty. It just opens us up, and that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. We need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Amen? Being comfortable with being uncomfortable with just saying, wow, I needed that. Boy, I need to grow there. And being willing to be vulnerable and even admit it, talk about it, work through it, and know that you're not here to be condemned. You're here to be encouraged. I believe the Holy Spirit, we talk about confrontation, right? But, you know, the Spirit of God is called the Comforter. And I think sometimes we need to, instead of maybe calling it confrontation, I think we can understand that God gives us some comfortation. He comforts us as he addresses things in our lives and shows us, look, this is where you need to be. And but it is, here are some examples of how we tolerate emotional immaturity. You can be a gifted speaker for God in public and be detached in your home. You can function as a leader and yet be unteachable, insecure, and defensive. You can quote Bible verses with ease and still be unaware of your immaturity. And you can fast and pray regularly and yet remain critical of others, justifying it as discernment. You can lead people for God when in reality your primary motive is an unhealthy need to be admired by others. Now, you can be hurt by the unkind comment of a coworker and justify saying nothing because you avoid conflicts at all costs. And you can serve tirelessly in multiple ministries and yet carry resentments because there is little personal time for healthy self-care. You can lead a ministry of any sort. You can lead a family with little transparency, rarely sharing struggles or weaknesses. And what this can imply is that there's an emotional immaturity that is tied specifically to spiritual immaturity. So let's just look at this first one, this first failure of tolerating, as we tolerate emotional immaturity. What's the first reason we do that? Well, notice with me, the first reason is we no longer measure our love for God by the degree to which we love others. I got a little bit of a PowerPoint, I think, here. Let's see, turn this on. Okay, so Let's see, is it working? Let's see. I'm trying to go forward. Where do I need to point it, Brother Mike? Any specific direction? Is that it? Well, it's not. I might get you to do it for me, Ben. Is that okay? Yeah. So just real quick, and emotionally help the disciples slows down to be with Jesus. We need to do that, don't we? Did anybody skip devotions today? It happens. Has it been 2 days? Has it been a week since you just sat down in some quietness and opened up the Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through the Word and you talk to the Lord? If that's missing in your life, there's something that's got to give. Because it's going to result in an emotional immaturity. We want to go beneath the surface and to be transformed by our Lord. And then through that, we go out into this world and offer our life as a gift to the world for Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't take this the wrong way. This is not the idea, the sarcastic comment, oh, your life, you act like your life is a gift to the world. Well, me personally, no, but the Lord living through me is a gift to the world. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power and the excellency may not be of me, but it's of God. And so we go out, but we cannot give what we are not. And so our goal as disciples is to be grounded in a sweet, loving relationship with our Lord that they see there. Our next slide there, let's just keep going. What are some ways to have emotionally healthy discipleship? Go ahead, next one. So we can easily grow blind to glaring inconsistencies, and so that's something we're going to talk about and be aware of. The next one we see, does it go to the next one there? Oh yeah, go back. That's right, Ben. We no longer measure our love for God by the degree to which we love others. That is a definite scale to consider. How have you loved today? Your spouse, your children, your coworker, even that coworker that you don't like. And I don't have any coworkers, by the way, that I don't like. Okay, I just want to be upfront about that. I love them, Brother Mike, Arthur, all of them. Blessing. But honestly, you know, think about that. Because you're going to see something in your life that is lacking in spiritual maturity, emotional maturity. If you're not loving, that means there's something missing in your love for God. We can't separate the two. The next slide there, 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because what? We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. In other words, it is a fruit of salvation that when we have been born again, there is the desire to love those around us. Does it mean we're always going to love people perfectly? Absolutely not. That's not what 1 John is talking about. By the way, 1 John, I believe, this is another subject, another sermon, but 1 John, I believe, is a book on the test of discipleship or fellowship with the Lord. If you are a true disciple of Christ, these things should be happening in your life. And what that is speaking of is also as a habit. Do we have bad days? Of course. Do we have bad moments? Yes. But we seek to make it our practice. Notice this next verse, 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and I'm sure everybody here says that. I hope we do. I hope we want to. And hateth his brother, what does the Bible say? He's a liar. I didn't say that. That's not what Brinson said. That's what the Apostle John said through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? It's so important to understand how we ought to be able to identify very quickly if there is some emotional immaturity there. You know, it comes down to also understanding about the two natures that we have. We, as saved people, we have a new nature and we have an old nature. And certainly, the old nature does not want to love anyone but themselves. That's all that you care about. The old nature just wants his way, her way, and if anybody gets in the way of that way, they're in trouble. And they're going to hear about it, they're going to know about it, and that's not going to be tolerated. But the new nature is, first of all, Christ-centered, Christ-focused, and then as an outflow of that, as Jesus was others-minded, we are putting others before ourselves. We are being forbearing, forgiving. We are seeking to give the benefit of the doubt. We are seeking to extend mercy and grace. We are seeking to truly put the others' needs even before ourselves for the sake of the gospel. You know, you may be familiar with that hymn, Come Thou Fount. You know, I'm not going to attempt to sing it for you tonight, but it's a great song. It really is. The songwriter Robert Robinson wrote, and you notice letter A there on your outline, one of the words he put on there, he says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. How many of us feel like that many times? I know I do. There is a temptation in our heart just to leave the Lord and do our own thing. Well, later on there was a writer that, and it's actually changed in some hymn books, that states it like this: prone to worship, Lord, I feel it. Prone to serve the God I love. That is what we are striving for to be the norm in our life. Lord, I want to grow in my worship of you and to seek you and serve you and love you because of who you are and because of who you are in me. And I certainly pray that we will each do our best in discerning that. Now, because of time, I'm not going to be able to dive in to the second point, but we'll just glance there for a moment. Notice, not only we no longer measure our love for God by the degree of to which we love others, but secondly, we elevate the spiritual and distrust the emotional. There was a philosopher, Plato, there that would say that the body is bad and that the spirit is good, and understand that this is not biblical. This is actually where in Colossians you can read about and understand that there was false, erroneous teachings through that. And we called Gnosticism, that basically you worked on going to these spiritual levels, and anything to do with the body was bad. But that's not biblical, because we understand, as we see the verse there going down under the point, that we are sanctified, we are set apart wholly by God, and our spirit and our soul and our body is to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying about this is, listen, we cannot run from when we have times of sadness. We can't run from times of depression. We can't ignore that, because there are some people out there that say, look, if you're dealing with depression, then look, you just obviously are not right with God and you got sin in your life. That may not be true. And God gave us feelings of sadness and even feelings of anger. There were times where Jesus was angry. Of course, it was always without sin. there are times that he grieved. There are times that he wept. There are times that he worshiped and was in wonder and amazement. Jesus had feelings, and so feelings are not sinful. The way God made us. In fact, you know, if you think about it, our bodies, we are made in the image of God. And it's beautiful. And we are incredibly dignified beings because we are image bearers. We bear the image of God Almighty. And so, yes, it's marred by sin and there's depravity there. Nobody denies that. It's there. But we get born again. We get a new nature. We're a new creation in Christ. But there's still a battle. And I think what a lot of times we if we're not careful, we do not recognize the things that are going in our life emotionally, that God is using that to bring us to Himself. I gave the illustration there of the check engine light. You know, nobody likes that feeling, right? You know, the check engine light comes on. It's like, oh no, I just bought this car yesterday. And, you know, that happens to the best of us, right? You know, but the check engine light is simply an indicator, all right? It is indicating something that is there that needs to be taken care of. And that is exactly what takes place in our life when we are having feelings of sadness, feelings of grief, even feelings of anger. We need to get to someone who can help us. And His name is Jesus. We go to the Lord. We go to the Word. And He will allow Him to identify those things. But nevertheless, we cannot look at these things as necessarily sinful. Now, it's sinful if we refuse to come to the Lord as we are and allow Him to do His work, that sanctifying work, setting us apart. And so those were two reasons that we tolerate spiritual immaturity in our lives. And so tonight, as we break up in small groups, let's just pray that the Lord would help us not to tolerate the things in our life. Aggravation, quick judgment, assuming things. Anybody here ever assume what somebody else is thinking? Yep, that's why they did that. That's why they said that. That's what they're thinking. And we assume. And we let a lot of those things build up in us. And I do it with my own kids. Sometimes we went through that series, and Paul Tripp alluded to it. You know, a lot of times we wake up thinking our kids were like making a game plan before they went to bed, how we're going to irritate mom and dad in the morning. Sometimes I always get that feeling. You guys been working together. You've been thinking about this, hadn't you? You know, how are you going to really get on my nerves, you know? But, you know, that just is revealing to me. And, you know, insecurity, fear, those are some feelings that we get, uneasiness, that if they're not dealt with, oh my, it builds. But I think the point is that we can't look at the feelings themselves as sin. They're God-given, but it can turn into sin if it's not revealed and allow the Lord to address it. And so that's our goal. That is indeed our goal. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." All your being, your emotions, your intellect, your will, your body. We want everything to be involved in this discipleship. And we'll look at some other details at a later time. But let's pray before we break up in small groups. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We do pray that you would lead us now. And as we have just a short discussion time and prayer time, we pray that you would help us to be faithful disciples. Lord, especially as we have talked about tonight, how are we loving? And even our enemies, those around us. Lord, how are we living our lives out, even emotionally? And Lord, I pray that you would just reveal to us what we need tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.